This is AMDA On The Go, your gateway to expert discussions, journal article reviews, and innovation in post-acute and long-term care. AMDA On The Go is a presentation of the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Support for this broadcast is provided by the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care. This podcast is eligible for ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits. Details will be provided at the end of this podcast. And now here's our host for AMDA On The Go, Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
Welcome to AMDA On The Go. This episode takes a deep dive into telemedicine. In a March 2, 2017 article in The Economist entitled, "A Digital Revolution in Healthcare is Speeding Up," a discussion ensues regarding the momentum towards a digital-based future. The article looks at healthcare expenditures and wasteful spending, and consumer readiness to accept digital products, including telemedicine. While the battle goes on between traditional innovators like medical technology companies, incumbent players like health insurers, and technology insurgents such as Amazon, Google, or Apple, the article makes it clear that rapid medical and diagnostic innovation will disrupt all businesses that rely heavily on physical staff and facilities, and point of care will move rapidly into the home. Yet, there will still be concerns around regulations over accuracy, security, and privacy. Given the evolving role of telemedicine within the healthcare continuum, the 2018 annual conference for AMDA, the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, entitled "Navigating the Changing Landscape in Post-Acute and Long-Term Care," chose telemedicine as a focal topic, meriting a half-day symposium that was entitled "Telemedicine in Post-Acute and Long-Term Care, How to Do It and Do It Well." Here to provide us with some highlights from their presentation are Drs. Murthy Gokula, Thomas Edmondson, Stephen Handler, and Suzanne Gillespie. Dr. Thomas Edmondson is board certified in internal medicine, geriatrics, and hospice and palliative care medicine. He is the immediate past president and chair of the American Board of Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. He is the regional president of the Mid-Atlantic Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care and a former consultant for telehealth solutions for integrated delivery networks worldwide. Dr. Stephen Handler is an associate professor of geriatrics and biomedical informatics at the University of Pittsburgh. He is the co-director and medical director for telemedicine and health information for the CMS Innovation Award called RAVEN, Reduce Avoidable Hospitalizations Using Evidence-Based Interventions for Nursing Facilities in Western Pennsylvania. Dr. Murthy Gokula completed a fellowship in geriatrics at the University of Michigan Ann Arbor and is board certified in both family and geriatric medicine. Dr. Gokula is both the post-acute medical director for the Clinical Integrated Network with Mercy Health and Quality Assurance Process Improvement, QAPI, consultant for Caravi Enterprises. He is the current president of the Ohio Medical Director Association. Dr. Suzanne Gillespie is an associate professor of medicine in the Division of Geriatrics and Aging at the University of Rochester and the associate chief of staff for geriatrics and extended care at the Canandaigua VA Medical Center. Doctors, welcome to AMDA On The Go.
Thank you so much for having us.
Dr. Handler, telemedicine seems to come in so many flavors and really does appear to be greatly misunderstood with practitioners in the trenches and administrators in the boardroom. The last time I mentioned telemedicine, the response was, "Oh, you mean a call center?" Given your expertise in the IT world, can you lead us through an understanding of what telemedicine is? It seems to come in so many flavors. What are the various technologies for which telemedicine applies?
Well, that's a great question to lead off the discussion with. We'll use an operational definition from the American Telemedicine Association. And they define telemedicine as the use of telecommunication and information technologies in order to provide clinical health care at a distance. So that's just to help us provide a good use of what the technology is. But let's dive a little deeper. Let's think about some use cases or ways in which this can be used in particular. So I oftentimes frame it in literature in one of four different ways. One is interactive services or synchronous services where it's real time. It's audio, video, you're looking and hearing a resident or a patient in real time with the audio and video. And an example of that might be for the type of medicine that we practice is managing an acute change of condition in the nursing home setting. Another type of telemedicine would be store and forward or asynchronous technology, whereby maybe you're taking a picture of a wound or a rash and you're sending it to a dermatologist. And the next type might be remote monitoring or self-monitoring, whereby you're checking your blood pressure or your heart failure through checking serial weights, and someone is monitoring that through a call center like you're just suggested. And then the final could be mobile health. Let's say you're using an Apple Watch or a Fitbit or something, and you're trying to just track the number of steps you're using or you've moved in a given period of time. So that's what I believe is telemedicine currently. Of course, that'll change over time. And there are other types, but it's a good framework for this discussion.
Dr. Edmondson, the introduction of your presentation in the AMDA conference program begins with, telemedicine is rapidly becoming a standard of care in modern medicine. Standard of care is a powerful phrase in our world. I know that there are providers like me who have heard senior leaders speak about initiating telemedicine in our systems, even hiring consultants to look at feasibility. Yet, years later, we are still left without the benefit of this science. Within our hospital-centric worlds, despite the advocacy and support that AMDA provides to its part of the healthcare continuum, is telemedicine possible in post-acute and long-term care? And what are the barriers to initiating telemedicine programs?
Well, thank you for the question. Telemedicine is very popular in post-acute long-term care settings, and it's rapidly growing year by year. There are some barriers to its expansion. You know, just think about the various stakeholders who have interest in telemedicine in post-acute long-term care. We have to think about staff of the facilities, the physicians, advanced practice clinicians. You have our hospital partners with interest in this, and also insurers. Insurers are looking for ways to break down some of the barriers. One of those barriers is really understanding the value of the services for your patients, I think. Research, as you noted, is relatively lacking, but it's growing rapidly year by year. And it's showing consistently that telemedicine is a terrific intervention and a tool and a technique to help manage chronic illnesses and also intervene when patients are acutely ill. So that's consistently being shown here in the States and also worldwide. As people get comfortable with the technology and see it as a tool to help them take care of patients, become more efficient, help with patient satisfaction, and reduce cost, interest in telemedicine is growing very rapidly. A second barrier would be, you know, clinician and patient buy-in. When patients understand that their physicians are using the technology to help manage their conditions, that it's helpful to the doc, I think patients are very willing to buy in and participate. And on the flip side, when physicians see that their patients benefit from it, have interest in that technology and how it gives them access to their doctor, it can help provide a level of security and safety and as they're experiencing their changes in their health, that both the patient and the clinician both do increase in their value in their buy-in and also want to use the technology more. And we try to take away the technology from people to say, wait a minute, no, please give this back to me. It was really very valuable. Probably the biggest barrier, though, is payment. And Medicare, Medicaid have yet to really kind of embrace the technology fully. There are some nuances there, but I think there's growing interest by Medicare to find a way to fund different technologies of telemedicine in settings. And also, certainly, there's some new payment CPT codes that help cover remote patient monitoring. And I think that with the growth of value-based care, that a lot of insurers and ACOs are beginning to look at telemedicine as a terrific way to reduce their cost. So it's slowly changing, and the barriers are slowly coming down.
So what I'm understanding from you is that when it comes to telemedicine, it's kind of like the boy in the city and the country. Once you get a taste of the city, you don't want to go back to the country.
Absolutely.
Dr. Gillespie, in a 2014 article in Health Affairs entitled, "The Use of Telemedicine Can Reduce Hospitalizations of Nursing Home Residents and Generate Savings for Medicare," the two authors, Drs. Grabowski and O'Malley, both healthcare policy professors, looked at provider engagement, cost-effectiveness of telemedicine, and effective policy changes on telemedicine adoption. They concluded that the cost savings for telemedicine exceeded the financial investment in the service, but they also talked about needed reforms. And it seems that there might need to be some standards for the use of telemedicine as well, at least in our world of post-acute and long-term care. Is this something that AMDA, the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, would facilitate or look into?
Well, Wayne, I'm glad you asked. So the leaders of the society last year recognized the emergence of this important tool. And so had myself, the others here in the room, and then other leaders and experts in AMDA in the use of telemedicine convene a work group to really look at and think about where the needs are for our membership in being able to use this tool to provide best care. And I think that's an important way for us to frame it. Telemedicine is a tool which can be applied in post-acute and long-term care to break down access barriers and to provide opportunities for better care. And so in order to do that, we need to ensure that it is integrated into our care in a way that's safe, effective, consistent with the other standards for care in that space, and that is mindful of the both individual and facility-based needs. And so we're working to develop some of those standards that our members can use in partnership with their facilities and with their local healthcare systems to try and integrate this tool into their care in an effective way.
Our interview will continue after this brief message from the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, the only foundation dedicated to advancing the field and practice of post-acute and long-term care medicine. Our foundation is totally unique in focusing on issues of competence, quality, and the value we bring to patients in this setting. Please support the foundation at paltcfoundation.org.
We're talking with Drs. Handler, Edmondson, Gillespie, and Gokula on the topic of telemedicine. Dr. Gokula, I think we all agree that medicine is very nicely moving toward shared decision models, where patient-centered care is a focus of quality care. Don't patients expect us to be there for them in the flesh? It seems that telemedicine would take us away from the presence and touch of the provider and thereby impair the provider-patient relationship. What is your experience with the telemedicine approach? How has it changed your patient relationship for the better? How would you reassure the Joe AMDAs in the trenches trying to care for post-acute and long-term care patients in our 24/7, 365 world?
Thank you, Dr. Salzman, for calling me Joe AMDA. I love it. I've been doing long-term care for 14 years, been in academics, but was in the trenches. And I love my experience of how I came into academics and then transitioned to telemedicine, wherein I came to geriatricize the world to take care of older adults. Now I'm trying to prophesize post-acute long-term care people how to do care at the bedside. And I have many numerous examples of how I practiced at the bedside for 14 years, and now when I'm not there, I could easily be there for them. And how I reduced readmissions, how I managed acute change of condition, how I managed urgent care, and with the changing dynamics of how Medicare is looking at reimbursement, and the latest example, as Tom has mentioned, about the remote patient monitoring codes that are being paid, and then the Medicare, if you are in a rural area, getting paid for, you can come up with innovation. And who can do better innovation than AMDA? And the people who take care of people in long-term care. We work in the most difficult circumstances, in the most difficult environment, with changing regulations. But then one thing that's constant is we provide high-quality care. And trying to manage multimorbidity at the bedside, improving function, quality of life, and that's what I've done. So how did I do it? I took up simple platforms, put it together, and within $2,000-$3,000, you can actually have your own solution and started practice of telemedicine at the bedside. With the ACO and shared risk-taking, you can have innovative models in order to do the practice of telemedicine. So the way you start, I started it is, you first read and enjoy telemedicine, and then you do it and feel it. So when you start feeling it, the patient barriers are all broken down, and patients feel that you're really there. And it's not the technology that drives, it's the relationship with the patient that drives and transforms care. And that's what telemedicine actually does for you. And it's bringing the person closer to that person, which the patient cannot see on a telephone, wherein the nurse is in between in a long-term care setting. But here I am right there when the nurse wants me, and right at the bedside. And with the advancement of the video technology, there is 3D technology that patient actually feels that you're right there in the room. So we have all that opportunity to be at the bedside. So I love what I'm doing. And I've never had any patient complain, and despite the education level of the patient, I had complete 100% satisfaction.
Dr. Gillespie.
You know, Murthy, listening to you talk about your experience really matches some of the experience I've had in doing telemedicine visits for seniors in senior living communities. We initially had thought, wow, you know, these older adults are not going to be receptive to technology and doing things by video. And we grossly underestimate how enthusiastic they were in engaging in the visits. They loved being able to see the provider on the other side of the video and really engaged very readily and asked for it again and again. And the feedback that we got was that they were able to see it as an extension of the relationship that they had in care with primary providers like Murthy, and that it really actually forged a stronger care that complemented their ongoing primary care relationship. And so the feedback has been really very positive.
Along those lines, it would be only fair if I go back to Dr. Handler. What have been the results from your innovation award from the RAVEN program?
So sure, I'll be happy to discuss some of the results from the RAVEN CMS Innovation Award. And one of the components of the multi-component intervention is the use of telemedicine to reduce potentially avoidable hospitalizations. And what we've seen in our second phase of this Innovation Award, which started in 2016, is that now that there's a better alignment of incentives between payment for facilities and providers, whereby facilities are receiving payment for six conditions that are associated with 80% of potentially avoidable hospitalizations, and telemedicine can be used without restriction to rural location, we've seen a doubling of the use of telemedicine in the short period since November of 2016. So we're strongly encouraged by these results. To Tom's point earlier, we agreed that reimbursement is a significant barrier, and we've also seen that removing that barrier and realigning incentives, not only at the provider, but also at the facility level, significantly improves the use of telemedicine, but also we're starting to see that directly tie into patient outcomes. To follow up on that one point, we've had separate meetings with CMS to underscore this, and we're really advocating for the removal of the rural restriction, which we believe really doesn't hold a place, and I think AMDA's organization believes in more of the rule of medical necessity rather than an artificial designation. So hopefully they will continue to see the value of providing just good quality care based on medical necessity and not on an artificial distinction that we don't believe really rings true.
Dr. Handler, that is such exciting news to hear about the impact of RAVEN. I think when you combine findings like the work from the RAVEN project and passion like Dr. Gokula and his care of patients, it seems to me that in the future we're going to have a real positive opportunity to use this tool of telemedicine to make a difference for the patients that we're caring for in post-acute and long-term care settings.
We have been talking to Dr. Stephen Handler, Suzanne Gillespie, Thomas Edmondson, and Murthy Gokula about the evolving world of telemedicine with a focus on post-acute and long-term care. Doctors, thank you for your time and for this very lively discussion. Until next time, I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Saltzman, for AMDA On The Go.
Support for this broadcast is provided by the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care. If you are a physician and interested in obtaining ABPLM, pre-approved certified medical director credits for certification or recertification, please email cmd@paltc.org with your name and the podcast's title. Thank you.